Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're tipping off Wednesday's show with the Men's Basketball Africa League. And joining me now for some hoop insights is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny.
Nile Conference action tipping off in Cairo. We have six teams, Mukbil, kind of spanning all across Africa. We have the hometown team from Egypt, Al Ahly, Cape Town Tigers from South Africa, City Oilers from Uganda. They're making their BAL debut. Petro de Luanda from Angola, a finalist in 2022. Ferroviario de Beira from Mozambique, and Seydou Legacy Athletic Club. They've played in the BAL before, or SLAC from Guinea. How do you see this Nile Conference shaping up, Mukbil?
I think if it's going to be anything similar to what we saw in the Sahara Conference, it's going to be very tight. It's going to be a conference full of surprises, Sonny. I feel like it's anyone's game. It's not going to be just because we've been here for a while or we've played here. It does not matter. Everybody is going to play each other one time and one time only. All you got to do is just play really good for four quarters and you're on to the next round.
The stakes, the high stakes that we're going to be seeing in Cairo, almost like a playoff game, every game. Each team gets five games,
yep,
and they have to finish among the top four to advance. Maybe pick out two teams, Mukbil, that you think are likely to make it to Kigali next month.
If I was to put it on two teams, I would say that Petro de Luanda has shown a level of consistency in the past two seasons. And then they were also the runner-up in last year's BAL season. So I would say I would hope that they would be able to do something similar to what they did in the last two seasons, and Petro will be able to come out of this group. Another group, another team that I would say I'd put in there would be Al Ahly, the Egyptian side.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, they were able to defeat Zamalek, who has been in the first two seasons of the BAL. So for them to dethrone the other Egyptian champions and get on to this season means that they must be packing some kind of a punch. So I'd have to say Petro de Luanda and Al Ahly, the home team.
Petro picked up a player we're familiar with, Mukbil, Majak from Sudan. Was drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers in the 2011 NBA draft. Won the Dikembe Mutombo Defensive Player of the Year Award last year, mm-hmm, as a member of Monastir. What does he bring to Petro de Luanda?
He brings to Petro de Luanda something that Monastir was missing, clearly, since they were unable to make it out of that first round. He is a defensive, just an annoyance for players, right? He is just,
right,
he is that defender that really is so lengthy, so athletic. He's really in all the spots where you want your bigs to be able to kind of just have an easy way into the paint. He's blocking shots. He also has a three ball from the corner that he's perfected as well. Not super offensive oriented, but that corner three has been something that he's been able to add to his arsenal. But yeah, for me, defensively, he does it all. And you could tell that Monastir was kind of missing that defensive tenacity that he brings to the table. And for him to add that to Petro, that it was already a dominant defensive team who would corral around players, man, I'm excited just to watch Petro play defense. You know?
Let's give a shout-out to Al Ahly, the hometown team. They're going to be playing basically on their home court at the Hassan Mustafa Sports Complex. What does it mean to play in front of a partisan crowd, Mukbil?
Sometimes, you know, certain games, you just need that little bit of energy, right? We've seen it happen in the Sahara Conference with AS Douan. This team, the first game that they played, they were not able to get it done. But then as the tournament or as the league continued, we saw that the crowd involvement allowed them to really get into a different level that we hadn't seen them be able to do in the past. So if I'm going to say anything about it, fan presence is huge. If you can add the that kind of value to my game, you know, you're booing the other team when they're at the free
right.
throw line.
That's right.
And you're giving me energy, you know, when we score and you're giving me the hype, I'll take it any day. So Al Ahly definitely has an advantage playing at home.
I'm Sonny Young. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabarough. I'm also reminded of our Nothing But Net with Mukbil and Sonny podcast. We have our first Nile Conference podcast coming up soon in the next few days. Our first guest will be the only female coach in the Basketball Africa League.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Côte d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Liz Mills of Abidjan Basketball Club. Your thoughts on Coach Mills, Mukbil?
I think Coach Mills is an outstanding coach. Her track record speaks for itself. For her to be the only female coach in the league at the moment shows you where her class is. But she is a pioneer in that respect. And I definitely would not be thrown off, or I could see how way more women coaches will be in this league as it moves forward. So look to see more women coaches in the league.
Yeah, and I think Coach Mills would love to see that, to see some of her sisters, so to speak, in the Basketball Africa League. But let's get back to the Nile Conference, Mukbil. Taking a look at the rosters for some of the teams, I guess, you know, he might be the guy that gets the most media attention in Cairo, Zaire Wade of the Cape Town Tigers. What does he bring to Cape Town?
Zaire brings the simple fact that he has the eyes on him. The young man has about 2 million plus followers on Instagram.
Wow. Wow.
Outside of being Hall of Famer Dwayne Wade's son, you know, having had the limelight from a young age, we can see that his developmental game has shown so much improvement. Having played in the high school circuits with LeBron James's kids at Sierra Canyon, then playing in the G League last year. This is a young player that has the talent to play on the next level. He just has to be given the opportunity. And I'm excited to see the pathway that he's taking, which is an unorthodox pathway for a lot of American players getting into the league. But I'm excited to see what it does for him personally, to see how well he does in this league, and then to see if this will be something that we will see younger American players also doing as well. Super exciting.
Zaire Wade, of course, has the NBA connection with his father, but also kind of an NBA connection with the Cape Town Tigers coaching staff. Tell our VOA listeners about that, Mukbil.
Yeah, the assistant coach for the Cape Town Tigers will be NBA G League Ignite assistant coach Rashid Hazard, and he will serve as a head coach alongside their other coach, Flosh Ngwenya. So it'll be exciting to see what the dynamic of a two-system head coaching
Yeah, that is interesting.
It's very unique, but I think, hey, why not try it? Give it a shot. You know, you got a coach that coaches on the G League level and another coach with great coaching experience as well for the Cape Town Tigers. So I'm excited to see what that will mean for the team. But yeah, Zaire brings that level of excitement to the league that maybe season two might have been missing because there was no player like that. Season one had J. Cole playing with the Rwandan side at the time.
Oh, that was the Patriots. Was it the Patriots?
So J. Cole played with the Patriots in that first season, got that level of excitement for everybody. And I think season two kind of didn't have that player of that caliber that brought that maybe that celebrity factor.
Right.
This young man, you know, you know, being thrown into it. But you see, the difficulty about having that celebrity aspect is everybody that you end up playing wants to showcase themselves when they play against you too. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword.
Right.
So he has to bring his A game because everybody is bringing their A game to him.
One of Zaire Wade's teammates in Cairo, we've both talked with Peter Prinsloo, the captain of the Tigers. I think it might be his favorite NBA player, Mukbil, Joel Embiid of the 76ers. They're through to the second round of the NBA playoffs, but one of the big storylines right now in the NBA playoffs involves the Milwaukee Bucks-Miami Heat series. The Heat surprisingly leads that first-round series 3-1. They have the Bucks on the verge of elimination, the Bucks with Giannis Antetokounmpo, but talk first about Jimmy Butler, or as he's nicknamed, Jimmy Buckets. Jimmy Buckets.
Jimmy Buckets is the persona of Jimmy Butler when he turns up in the playoffs. This is a different guy.
Unbelievable.
This is not the same guy we see in the regular season. It's almost like he's on cruise control during the regular season because his team ended up in the 8th seed. That is not a seeding of somebody that can play on the caliber of what he's doing right now, but it goes to show you that he has another level that he turns up into when it is the playoffs.
I think this is where all the like best players, they show up and they show out. And I'm not saying I'm one of those best players. I just want to be looked at as such. And I just go out there and I compete. I want to do everything for my team to win, along with everybody else on his roster.
Putting up a 56-point performance.
56 points.
56-9 in the playoffs against the number one seed.
Wow.
In the NBA.
Wow.
So it's like you're not going up against, you know, just a slouch of a team. Granted, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been injured for majority of this series. Couldn't have come at a worse time for his team. But now they have an uphill battle, and Jimmy and co, all they have to do is win one of three.
Wow.
One of three, and they will be the first 8th seed to make it past and defeat a 1 seed. I think since 2011, the Grizzlies were able to defeat the San Antonio Spurs.
Game 5, Wednesday night in Milwaukee. Can the Bucks come back from this deficit?
I think the Bucks have to look at it from the perspective of it being a one game at a time. You can't look at it as we're 3-1 down, we need to win 3. They have to look at it from the perspective of game 5, that's one game. It's do or die. We got to win that. Game 6, we have to win that game. Game 7, we have to win that game. So if they look at it from the perspective of just one game at a time, I think they can do it. Has it been done often? No. But can it be done? Yes, it can be done, you know. But it also depends on how healthy is your go-to guy. Is Giannis really healthy? He played game 4, but we saw him struggling. We know that, you know, as a big, like big players, usually big men, when they have injuries like a back injury and it's lingering, it just really kind of just stops them from being able to be mobile, can't move around a lot. I know Jimmy got a quick dunk on him. It's kind of from the side a little bit, but
wow.
still consider it's like 6'6" or 6'7" yeah. guy going up against a 7-footer is like, you know, it's unbelievable. So like it's gonna be exciting, man. But either way, whatever happens in game 5, It's great for the league.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm Sonny Young. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm joined by Muckbill Yabbarough, my VOA colleague. Muckbill, getting back to the Bucks, should they be eliminated, hypothetically, does that make it easier for Joel Embiid and the 76ers to make it to the NBA Finals?
Honestly, that's the interesting thing. I think the Sixers and Joel have had an easier time matching up against the Bucks than they have matching up against the Celtics. So I think the Celtics are a bigger problem for them than the Bucks. So it would be very interesting to see how that ends up turning up. But I think the Achilles heel has been the Boston Celtics for this team. And I feel like the Sixers, in order for them to get there, it's going to have to go through Boston.
Boston's former coach, Ime Udoka, looks like he's going to take over the Rockets after kind of being in exile for 7 months. I was wondering what his NBA future held. Our listeners in Nigeria, remember, he used to play for Nigeria's national team.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of happy for him that he's hooked up with another NBA team.
I'm excited for Coach that he's able to get another opportunity. But the difficult thing about it is, that's probably the job that nobody wants in the league.
Yeah, they had it.
The Houston Rockets were probably one of the more challenging teams to coach because they have such a young roster. They don't really have a playing style that is conducive for, you know, the playing style that he's used to coaching with the Boston Celtics. He has been able to have success coaching younger players, but you got to get everybody to buy in. So it's going to be very interesting to see Coach Ime Udoka to be able to see what he can do with this young team. They're very talented. I'm not going to sit here and say they're not talented, but they're not really disciplined. They haven't really had the structure needed. And they also play in a different, like the Western Conference is just a different animal too. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Coach is able to do with this young core next season.
Finally, Muckbill, the NBA has been handing out its big awards during the postseason. And the biggest one will be League Most Valuable Player, Joel Embiid.
From everything that I've been hearing, it sounds that way. Sounds like Joel Embiid should be getting his first league MVP this year. But you never know. Nikola Jokic was a very close second. Could be the three-time MVP, you know. And he's been playing great, so you can't really knock it either. But very interesting. They seem like they should be able to get over the Minnesota Timberwolves, although Anthony Edwards had a stellar performance. He is going to be a star, a huge star in this league for years to come.
Thanks, Muckbill. That's my VOA colleague, Muckbill Yabbarough. And a reminder, check out our Nothing But Net with Muckbill and Sonny podcasts, which will be resuming during this Nile Conference phase of the Basketball Africa League. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes of the show. And check out voaafrica.com for other VOA programs and lots more information.
POAAfrica.com. For more Basketball Africa League Nile Conference insights, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Nigerian basketball analyst Queen John Moseff.
Okay, I'm expecting a great time of basketball in Cairo. The teams are getting ready, getting prepared. Could see how their media day went. It went well. Players are gearing up. They're happy. They can't wait for tip-off. So I just expect the best of basketball, especially just like we saw in Dakar, where the players went all out, teams went all out. They've all done their businesses. They've done their best of recruitment. We are seeing NBA, former NBA players playing here, NBA G League players playing here. I expect a whole lot of the best of basketball games. I'll be expecting the top guns to do well, and I'll be expecting to see the newcomers like the City Oilers, what they'll be able to bring on the table, if they can pull up a surprise. And for Al Ahly, who are the hosts and also a newcomer as well, I'm expecting them to do well as well.
You covered the Sahara Conference games of the Men's Basketball Africa League. And the fourth team that qualified for the BAL playoffs emerged on the last day of the games. Do you think the Nile Conference will follow a similar pattern?
Sahara Conference was very competitive. It was very intense. It was evenly matched among the teams, across the teams. Many of us didn't see that last day turnaround. But definitely we expected that everybody would give it a shot. But disappointingly and shockingly, the champions or the defending champions didn't make it, especially on the last day. I think that's on their part because they missed out on it. They didn't do their job well. Then for AS Douan, I think they are the ones we should commend for turning things around because they started off very poorly, but they got back in. And late on the last day, things turned around, especially having the fans right behind them. But this time around, I'm not expecting much of a surprise in our conference. I think it will be business as usual. Al Ahly, coached by former champion of the BAL, he coached Coach Zamalek in the first season of the BAL. He's one coaching Al Ahly. Al Ahly also have like six of their national team players who qualified them for the World Cup. They also have Ita Mejok at their battle with Petro. They still have their coach who won the Coach of the Year with the BAL, Coach Neto Oseneto. So I'm still expecting these two to go through. Even though Ali are playing their first time in the BAL, I still expect them to go through. Maybe Cape Town Tigers and any of City Oilers pulling off a surprise because they are newcomers. But we saw newcomers Ted Malian qualified for the playoffs. So City Oilers or Cape Town Tigers and then maybe Biera. But Slack, I've qualified to the playoffs last year, but I really doubt they'll make it this time around.
As a basketball analyst and reporter, what are your thoughts on the Basketball Africa League now in season 3?
BAL has taken it a lot higher in terms of branding, in terms of marketing, in terms of funding, the teams, the players. I think it's a lot better than what we saw in the last two seasons. And what we watch as well, the competition as well among the teams, is better than what we see. All teams have now stepped up. They are doing so well in recruiting their players. The teams also know all what is at stake. Fans also know what is at stake to watch teams, to watch their players. So I think it's a lot better in season 3, and I expect a lot to come around in subsequent seasons.
That's Queen John Moseff, a Nigerian basketball analyst, and she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
This is Colonel Sam Amedu, retired President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
In athletics, two-time Olympic champion Safwan Hassan says she won't be giving up the track anytime soon, despite her remarkable marathon debut in London 3 days ago. The Ethiopia-born Hassan, who competes internationally for the Netherlands, appeared to be on the verge of dropping out of her first marathon. She looked to have pain in her hip, and she stopped to stretch her leg twice, about 19 kilometers into the race. Despite this, though, Safwan Hassan caught up with the lead group of women with about 4 kilometers to go, and she won in 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 33 seconds. In an interview with Reuters, Hassan talked about her winning sprint.
When I was kicking, I was like, I kicked, then I kind of hold myself, oh, somebody gonna kick me. I was like, I couldn't believe that was like finish line. I was like, oh, maybe I'm wrong, maybe some couple of kilometers to go. It's better I don't kick 100%. I was like, take to 18%. Wherever somebody kicking, I wanna kick with them. But still, I'm kicking. I was like, when I see the, it was so close, 20 meters, 30 meters for, I see the thing, I was like, I just can't believe after that. Me winning, it's like, I don't know, somebody who win Olympic? Like, I just can't believe it. It's just so killing me.
At the Tokyo Olympics in 2021, Safwan Hassan completed an unprecedented track triple, winning gold medals at 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters, and a bronze medal at 1,500 meters. She says she's not ready, though, to focus only on the marathon.
I want to bala. I really enjoyed the marathon. I even enjoyed the journey. The leg is stretching things. That's weird. I hope I don't do next time. I really enjoy it, especially after I finish. I want to do marathon also, but I really want to stay in the track also. The funny thing, I just want to see even, I want to try to do 1,500 meters also. I want to see how fast I can run. Because just I don't want to just do only 10K, but just to see some diamond link in 1,500 meters. So after World Championship, I want to jump into marathon, see what I'm going to do. That's also a little bit interesting.
It'll be interesting to see which events Safwan Hassan runs in at the World Championships in Budapest, Hungary. The World Championships are scheduled from August 19th to August 27th. I think Hassan will run in multiple events, probably not the marathon, but I won't rule the marathon out after her spectacular comeback at the 2023 London Marathon. And that wraps up the April 26th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.